And now I'm joined in the studio today by Richard Sharp from Zen Essex, who is a multimedia designer who works in fashion design, music and holography. I said that right. Richard was also the synthesis for the band The Shaman as well. So thanks very much for coming in today.
Hello, everybody in Radio Land.
It's really nice to meet you. So, you found us okay? You know Rob Harvey, don't you, anyway?
Yeah, I've been up here a number of times supporting local acts.
Ah, right. You were surprised he wasn't here. We don't lock him in the cupboard normally during the week.
No, I know where he is.
He's busy working, is he, during the week?
Yeah, he's working hard.
He's working very, very hard. Hello, you'll be listening. Hello, Rob. How you doing? Tell us all about Zen Essex. I've had a look at the website, which is absolutely fantastic. So tell us a little bit about Zen Essex and what you do.
Well, I guess we set up about 3 years ago. Coming back from Japan, I'd been living in Japan for 12 years, and some kind of dichotomy of a word Zen and Essex. We're a company that make people look good.
Yep. And you've got 2D, 3D design, multimedia, fashion, textiles, buildings, objects, recycling, and digital design. So lots of technology. When you first started off, actually, if you go back to when you first kind of went to college, what were you doing before you? Were you sort of doing music and design, or how did you start off?
I started in Southend-on-Sea. I went to the tech school there in the art design department. I then went on and did a Bachelor of Arts in Fine Arts in Newcastle-upon-Tyne. And my training is in fine arts, but that expanded into all different kinds of areas.
And did you come from quite a creative family, or were you the only one in the family who was sort of creative? Or
well, interesting family, I don't know. Yeah, kind of creative.
Oh, you can't say that and not build up on an interesting family. Tell us.
Well, they were car collectors.
Oh, right.
Vintage car collectors.
Yep.
And had a big old museum down in Ramsgate. And so lots of unusual things to look at when I was growing up.
That is quite a good thing to be able to say, actually, car collection. was that mainly like your dad or your brothers? Or
my dad and his two brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fascinating.
And is that still going, that, or did it shut down?
No, it's long gone.
Long gone.
Yes.
And what sort of vehicles were they back in the day?
Every kind you could imagine. I mean, quite obsessive collectors, really. And so cars from 1880s right the way up to nowadays. Well, not nowadays.
But you didn't get anything for your 18th birthday then to drive around in?
No.
No, I suppose you might have thought you might have got a Ferrari or something. Or
No, nothing like that.
I've seen on the website holographic image containing foil textile laminate. Can you explain what that is? And also you can tell us a little bit about Hyper as well, because I mentioned it a bit earlier.
In the 80s, I was living in London, and I can't remember why, but I'd bumped into an astrophysicist, became a friend, and she had a holographic laboratory in her in a basement in Romford.
Mm.
It's very strange. And I couldn't, working with the art and design, this was something kind of so appealing to me. It looked like my fascination was how to do that with a textile.
Mm.
And at the same time, there was different laboratories around the world who were experimenting with laminating holograms onto film. I invented a system for applying those films onto substrates, onto viscose and polyurethane, and it was never been done before. So, I got down to the patent office, so I think I've got something here.
Yeah.
And I did. I had it patented all over the world. It's a it's a big old process, and I mean, nothing that I'd ever intended to do. Nothing I've ever done I've intended to do. It's just being in the right place at the right time.
So nobody can use that without actually...
Oh, those patents have long gone now. The patents only last a certain amount of time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Be gone and done. Oh, yeah. I'm onto other things now.
All right. If you want to take a look at the website, because it's a fabulous website, it's allthewzenessex.com. I know you were in the band The Chain. We're going to talk about those in a while, because I remember the Ebenezer, great track. Mm-hmm. Great track. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got a two-day music event. You're still obviously involved with music, and it's going to be at the Towngate Theatre, and it's Baz Productions. So tell everybody about what happens and how that got started.
Certainly. Baz Productions, we've got our fourth event this year, June the 20th to the 21st, at the Towngate Theatre in Basildon. It's a celebration about the sounds of Basildon, all from coming from the 80s of Depeche Mode, Alison Moyet, Vince Clarke, and that combined with new music that has a nod to the 80s, but so in some ways it's looking back, and in another way it's looking to the future. We have customers and people coming from all over the world, Russia, Japan, Kazakhstan, Germany, and we do bus tours around Basildon, and it's a whole, you know, it's kind of like a family, people getting together and just enjoying celebrating what happened in Basildon.
And it's at what days is it on in when's the 2-day event taking place?
June 20 and 21, that's a Friday and Saturday, at the Towngate Theatre.
Yeah, and how much is it to get in?
Well, it's only £35 for a whole weekend.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
That's good, very, very good. And will you be doing any sort of music stuff there yourself?
No. I will be doing some later in the year. I'm just getting a new system built.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, this sounds... what do you mean new system? It doesn't sound like you're just getting a little PA system.
Oh, no.
What do you mean by new system, Phil? Tell us.
When I was at art school in Newcastle, I've always been very interested in electronic or anything left field. I wasn't into the guitar rock thing. I stumbled across a room at my art school that had a rather large modular synthesizer. It's the kind of a synthesizer where you plug in loads of wires and it makes noises.
Yeah.
I spent about 3 years in that room, and the system I'm getting at the moment is, it's being built in Texas, in America. It's an American build, just a big, vast thing.
And
I can make noises with.
And is it going to sort of go with the lighting rig? Do you get involved in all that kind of stuff? Yeah,
but that's part of what Zenessex does, is that we've got a very kind of a brilliant guy working with us there who's doing all very digital thing. It's a cross between analog and digital. A lot of the work we do at Zenessex is very old school, combining it with kind of cutting edge technology.
When you were starting with the music, because you played with the Shaman from 91 to 92, around about
right.
that in the 90s, and when did you actually first sort of pick up with music? Did you play obviously keyboards? Do you play mm-hmm. any other instruments as well?
I can drum. Actually,
drumming's good, isn't it?
Yeah, gets it out of you.
He does.
I mean, really, we've got to go back in a time machine to 1976, Southend-on-Sea, and the whole punk thing, and Dr. Feelgood is really Bowie is a springboard, but
yep.
Dr. Feelgood, going to Queen's Hotel and seeing Generation X and all these things. I went to the art school in 78, and, you know, looking back on it now, there was Alison Moyet was in my year, Dave Garn from Depeche Mode was a year below us, John from Bronski Beat was there, I was there, let's say 4 or 5 people all had top 10 hits, huge light thing. That isn't why that happens in Southend, is fascinating. There's something, you know, that I'm very grateful for. Of course, the synthesizers were a big deal.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what was it like, if you're thinking about punk, because I was I'm not old enough to, well, I wasn't a punk, but it was just something that just happened. It was quite a short period of time, but how did it feel sort of going from maybe like a schoolboy, like did you have all the hair and did you have, you know, did you have all the clothing, because it was so out there, it was just totally different from anything anyone else had done.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was a very do-it-yourself culture. There were no shops around. There was no There was record shops, but I was living the life. You know, I made a... I seem to remember I'd made this raincoat out of Safeway's plastic bags because it got the blue and white stripe and a little bit red and looked great. And I'd gone to some... I'd gone to a club and got offered to do a fashion show based on what I was wearing, that and Wellington boots and a pair of Vivian Westwood's Seditionaries bondage pants. And then got involved with Body Map and people like from the 80s into doing fashion. I was never trained in fashion, but my fine art training allowed me to like...
Oh, right, it's just coming up to 11:49. You're listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98 FM. And joining me in the studio is Richard Sharp from Zen Essex. We've been talking about the design studio Spacetime UK. Go and have a look at the website. It's brilliant. All the www.zenessex.com. And also we've talked about holographic image containing foil textile laminate. I got that right. There we go. Makes a change. Now, you were the keyboard player. Moving on to moving forward with the music as well. You were the keyboard player for The Shaman. How had you done music before you got into The Shaman? What had you been doing before that? What bands?
Oh yes, my first band was 1978. Was in started in Southend, and in those days it was like anybody turning up, you'd be in the band, and using very unusual instruments, a Wasp synthesizer. I seem to remember we had a record with rhythm beats on of like tangos and stuff, and that was that was the rhythm section. And when I got to Newcastle, I joined punk band Punishment of Luxury, doing all their synthesizers, and continued with the synthesizers well up until now. They're amazing things for me. So yeah, I had been in bands doing a lot of work. How I got involved with The Shaman was in much the same way as the punk scene. The acid house scene in London was also very kind of do-it-yourself, and it was a small community of people clubbing. And that had come from clubbing. I was like friends with Orbital, Adamski, KLF, Bjork, Shaman, and I had a huge old warehouse in Cable Street in London that I set up Spacetime.
Yep.
One of the things we did was we used to hold ambient parties, chill out parties, all free, just amazing kind of, all the walls were holographic, and it was a Victorian kind of, you know, dramatic space. Shaman used to come, and I say this in a nice way, but blagging for fashion from me, because we were, you know, by that time we were in all the newspapers, all the magazines, dressing a lot of people, and the hologram thing really fit with the acid house. And so getting to know Colin from the band, I knew a lot more about synthesizers than he did, and he started asking me to work for them, advising them what to buy, and then how to use it. So I was then in the back room with The Shaman programming for them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the bass guitarist drowned just before Move Any Mountain came out.
Yeah.
And with tours and TV appearances, everything like that, Colin then said, well, can you come out of the back room onto the stage? So, oh, yeah, you know, but it was tragic. And that's how I got involved with them. I recorded the whole album, Boss Drum, double platinum sales.
Yeah.
Left the band at the end of the first US tour and headed off to San Francisco. And I'm a bit like that sometimes.
So when you were working together, because you had the massive hit, which was just absolutely massive. It was number one, I think, all over the place, which was Ebenezer Good, which was just a huge, I mean, you can hear it, I can hear it in my head now. It was a huge track. Did you actually work, when you were putting that, were you there actually putting that track together from the beginning?
Yeah, from the very first samples was actually Sid James doing the laugh. And there was a lot of samples in Shaman and Fun. I was working from that demo. For whatever reason, Sid James didn't get on the record in the end. But yeah, I did the whole Boss Drum album, and Amazing time.
How do you actually sit down when you're writing your track? Because obviously some people do. It depends. Suppose depends on the music you're doing. Some people might get a beat going. Other people might do a guitar. Or they've got a lyric. Or, you know, how did you guys work?
With the Shaman, Colin was the songwriter, Colin Angus. And he would demo up somehow, a very basic thing, and then bring me in, develop this bass line, develop that top line, get a bass kick drum going on whatever I've got around. We had a little community of people, the sound engineer, Mickey Mann, the lighting guy, and we would just sit in the studio for weeks and weeks and weeks and months in pre-production. Everything was pretty much sorted out like that. Mr. C would turn up in the afternoon with putting down beats, and we used to call them cheap beats, but some of them came off records.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say that, really.
No, doesn't matter.
It was a lot of fun.
What song are you most proud of in all the time, in all the music you've ever done? What's the most proud?
The next one. I'd say with the Shaman it would have to be the collaboration we did with psychedelic guru Terence McKenna, which was called Re-Evolution. It was maybe seven minutes long. We got it in the charts. It dealt with some very deep philosophy of life.
And what's coming up next for you? Because you don't seem somebody who's going to keep still. You're always doing stuff. So what's coming up next? Well, besides the Baz thing, what you've got coming up in... was it June? You said June, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, June.
That's taking... it's very pleasurable. I enjoy that a lot. I'm working again, going to start work again with Cheryl Melder, who was Shaman singer. She's now living in Chelmsford, strangely enough.
Yeah.
Fabulous singer, and we're getting together. I'm building this piece of machinery. I'm doing videos with different bands. We're helping bands along that we like. They got a good sense or something, and all for joy. I mean, the work these days is all for joy. There's no, it's not a materialistic thing.
As we were saying earlier, it's a bit. Everything's very, very polished. Now all the musicians that are coming through, and we get loads of local musicians here who are brilliant, and come in and they perform, they sing live, you know, which is always fantastic. But everything you see on kind of the TV stuff, it's all so polished now. Yeah. You don't get any, nobody's rough around the edges or developing as an act.
Where are the freaks?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah, we need them.
They're all here.
Well, we do need them.
What do you think? Just ask your opinion. What do you think on all the talent shows? Is it something you turn off straight away, or have you ever? I don't think you probably ever watched one, have you?
I've seen X Talent or something.
X Factor, was it? Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. It's almost, I don't know, like that very conservative music coming out of America in the 50s or something like this. It's just not exciting to me.
No.
And I think it stifles creativity.
Yeah, I suppose they're also wrapped in such a tight contract. They can't, once you've signed up, you've signed your life into that. You can't actually take your creativity, can you? Because you're a bit trapped.
Well, basically they don't care about you. They'll use you and spit you out at the other end.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's a nice way to... That'll be the final words of the interview. So, what are you up to on Valentine's Day? Have you got any plans for Valentine's Day?
I've got a Valentine's card.
Oh, nice!
Yeah.
Do you know who it's from, though?
Yes.
Oh, you do. All right, just checking. Because it is Valentine's Day, and there'll be a lot of sad people. It doesn't matter if you're single, by the way. It doesn't matter. Although, it'd be nice to... Don't buy red roses. That's what I always say. Men should never buy red roses on Valentine's Day.
No.
Too expensive. And commercial.
Yeah.
See, that's what every man I've spoken to says. I'm not buying my partner roses. It's too commercial.
Well, that's the other thing, actually. This year, I've got a field, and I'm going to start planting in there. Roses is one of the things I am going to plant, loads of them.
And then sell them for a profit next year.
Not sell them, just look at them.
Well, you get a lot of money for them. Well, thank you very much to Richard Sharp. Thank you ever so much for coming in. If you do want to check out the website, it's allthewzenessex.com, and you can find out everything about Zen Essex there. So thanks very much, and good luck with the Baz Productions as well. Did you say 20th of June? My brain's
20th and the 21st of June.
And it's £35 for the whole weekend.
Yes.
And there'll be music.
Yep, we've got Mesh playing live on Saturday night. Sign Star from Bristol. We've got Speak and Spell, the best Depeche Mode tribute band around. We have Motivar doing a special Alison Moy, Vince Clark, Erasure show. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent. And don't forget, where can people get tickets? Just from the...
They can buy them
yep.
at the Towngate Theatre. If you go to the Towngate Theatre website, you can buy them there. You can phone them and you can buy them, or you can even walk in and buy them.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, we're just coming up to nearly 12 o'clock. You're listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98 FM. Don't forget, I'm going to be reading out some of your comments about Valentine's Day. And, you know, if you're very sad and lonely, I'll be reading those out too. Right, just coming up to nearly 12 o'clock. Here's the headline news. Thank you.